Good morning. My name is Harry Van Camp. I'm with DeWitt Ross and Stevens in Madison, Wisconsin, representing Flambeau Mining Company. I'm joined at council table this morning with my partner, also from DeWitt, Henry Hansel. May it please the court. Flambeau Mining Company has brought this appeal because everyday citizens, individuals, and corporate apply to state agencies for licenses and permits to participate in regulated activities. That's what Flambeau did in this case. Just like you don't drive until you have a driver's license, or you don't fish until you have a fishing license, and you don't hunt until you have a hunting license, Flambeau did not discharge stormwater until it had the proper permit issued by the proper regulatory authority. And as long as you comply with those regulations, you don't expect to be hauled into court. Just like if you're out during the fishing season, you're sitting in your boat and you're taking only permitted fish, you don't expect to be accused of poaching. But that's what happened in this case. Flambeau Mining Company did nothing to discharge stormwater from the industrial outlet until it had the proper permit. They complied at all times throughout their mining and reclamation efforts. They absolutely complied with their permits. In fact, as the trial court found, they set their own higher limitations, and they achieved those. They met them. The permit they obtained in this case, they obtained from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. The Wisconsin Department is a fully delegated authority. Where a state agency is a fully delegated authority, the EPA suspends its authority. Now, by the time the permit in this case was modified, Flambeau Mining Company had worked with the state agency for over two decades. They had nowhere else to go to get their permit. This was the proper place to go. But I'd like to point out two things that make this case involving Flambeau even more egregious than the typical fishing situation. If we go back to that analogy, two of the three plaintiffs in this case were at the counter when that permit was issued, and in fact they were sitting in the boat the whole time it was relied on. What that means is that they attended meetings, they received communications about the modification, which I'll get to in just a moment, and they knew exactly what was going on. But 13 years later they went, aha, perhaps, even though they're only keeping the fish that are permitted and they're fishing only during the season, they're complying completely with the permit that they have. Maybe we can find them liable for not having the right permit because the EPA and the state of Wisconsin may have missed something during the adoption of that regulation. But the adoption of this regulation and this particular permit was not a blunder. It certainly wasn't a blunder by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. In this case, the Wisconsin Natural Resources employee in charge of mining, Larry Lynch, selected the permit, but he only did that after conferring with other WDNR employees, including the WPDES employees at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. They were consulted before this permit was selected. They chose this permit because it was authorized by the regulations, and they chose it because they had more experienced people to be involved in the regulation, and they had more people to be involved in the supervision and oversight. As the trial court found, they could be at the site with this staff twice a week as opposed to twice a year if they had used the WPDES staff. This permit achieved the Clean Water Act objectives. It was precisely the kind of cooperation between the EPA and a state that provides the cooperative federalism that the Clean Water Act anticipates.
Mr. Van Camp, I suspect that my colleagues and I understand your situation and the policy arguments you're making. Nevertheless, we do have this formal failure, apparently, to have the EPA give the formal blessing that was needed for Clean Water Act permits. Is this a problem in any other state?
I don't know that it is a problem in another state. I don't know that anybody has delved into it. The problem, of course, is that delving into all of the communications between the EPA and the delegated agency 20-some years before to make sure that the precise steps were followed is very difficult. But I don't believe, forgive me, that this is the improper permit, because, in fact, exactly what was supposed to happen to obtain this permit happened in this case. The state of Wisconsin drafted the regulation. The regulation was submitted to the EPA. The EPA reviewed the regulation, and they sent back the recommendations. Those recommendations were followed absolutely by the state of Wisconsin, and that regulation was adopted. There are 5,700 permits in the state of Wisconsin that have been issued to municipalities and industry on the basis of NR 216.
Well, it seems to me unlikely that the district judge lost her senses when she came to the conclusion she did, and she mitigated those consequences by imposing essentially trivial fines and denying fees. If she is right about that, is Wisconsin doing anything to fix this problem?
Wisconsin is not doing anything to fix the problem because they don't believe they have a problem. They believe the Wisconsin Attorney General's office believes it was properly adopted and properly permitted. The Wisconsin DNR believes it was
Plan B at work.
Not that I'm aware of. I would be aware.
That seems like a pretty high-risk strategy. We've heard from the state of Wisconsin through their attorney general, who I gather is not here today.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, as the court knows, the state of Wisconsin filed an amicus brief in this case. The amicus brief does not suggest that there is an improper permit at use. It doesn't suggest that there was an improper permit issued to these 5,700 other entities. This is a fully delegated state. This state is the entity that issues licenses. And NR 216, which was approved by the EPA, very carefully says that other permits may be used. We're talking about rain and snow runoff from a site. And this, by the way, is a permit that wasn't needed by Flambeau. This is one that they obtained because they wanted to assist the city of Ladysmith and the industrial outlet that they were trying to create. But they went to the fully delegated state agency that's charged with this, and they obtained the permit that was approved for this purpose.
Your view is that you have no obligation to look behind the representation of the state. That they had the legal authority to issue the permit.
Absolutely correct. And I think the same thing would be
clear, isn't it? I mean, nothing appeared in the Federal Register, and the state can't find the letter if it was done by letter.
Right. But in this case, it's not as if the state didn't do the steps that they were called upon to do to achieve proper authorization for NR 216. They did.
In other words, the EPA still has them as a fully, a fully delegated authority.
Absolutely. And for over two decades, both the EPA and the state of Wisconsin have relied on NR 216 for issuance in Wisconsin of permits for stormwater runoff.
So I guess one way to look at this case is that you're really a pawn. And what the plaintiffs are really concerned and upset about here is that maybe the EPA and the state authorities conspired here to use these mining permits and not talk very much about it, keep it a little bit below the radar.
Well,
all right?
You know, I don't think we have. I mean, thank you very much. I think that's perhaps correct.
Isn't that perhaps the point of the plaintiff's litigation?
Well, I think, you know, the plaintiffs in this case have a perfect remedy. If they don't believe the state of Wisconsin is properly operating within the confines of the Clean Water Act, they can go to either the agency and say, agency, you're not doing it correctly, or they can go to the EPA. They can sue the EPA, and they can say the state of Wisconsin is not operating within its authority. You need to fix it. So they have a remedy.
Talking about the EPA, I mean, they're kind of the 500-pound gorilla that's in the room here. Nobody, you know, on the sidelines. Anybody ask the EPA if they had a copy of the letter they supposedly sent the authorities in Wisconsin?
Well, with all due respect, I don't know that there is such a letter. It cannot be found.
Did anybody ask the EPA?
The EPA has been asked. The state has been asked. But, again, the EPA is not quickly responsive, shall we say.
And did the EPA make any effort to participate in this litigation in any way?
None whatsoever. I think it's critical that in this case, Wisconsin municipalities and industries, together with the Wisconsin DNR, conclude that, A, this is the proper permit, that the proper regulatory steps were taken to obtain it, that the EPA has and the state have operated as if this is the proper permitting procedure, and there is no violation, absolutely no violation here whatsoever.
In your view,
yes.
Do the plaintiffs have any other, if they believe in fact that the EPA and the state authorities are just flying below the radar here, do they have any other remedy than pick on you?
Yes, absolutely.
What remedy do they have?
Under the citizen suit, they can bring a citizen suit against the EPA and charge the EPA without failing to carry out the Clean Water Act in the state of Wisconsin and force them to obtain a letter that says that's a properly adopted regulation.
Thank you, sir.
But it did achieve what it was intended to achieve. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Van Camp. For plaintiffs, Mr. Saul.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is James Saul, arguing today on behalf of Wisconsin Resources Protection Council, Center for Biological Diversity, and Laura Gallagher. Your Honors, plaintiffs brought this case not to challenge any action or inaction of the state, but to abate Flambeau's discharges of acutely toxic concentrations of copper from its biofilter into Stream C, a short tributary to the navigable, in fact, Flambeau River. This is the same stream that was acknowledged by Flambeau from the time the biofilter was created in 1998 until the start of this litigation to be the receiving water for its biofilter discharges. It's the same stream that, according to Flambeau's own water quality data, has exceeded the state's acute toxicity criterion for copper in 100% of samples collected from the biofilter outlet along the length of the stream to the mouth of the stream where it meets the Flambeau. The stream, incidentally, has recently been listed by the state as an impaired water under the Clean Water Act, and it's the only water in the state of Wisconsin that's now impaired for acute copper toxicity. We ask the court to uphold the district court's decision with respect to the three issues appealed by Flambeau. First, that Flambeau is not entitled to a Clean Water Act permit shield because the only permit it holds was issued solely pursuant to state metallic mining laws and not pursuant to the Clean Water Act. Second, the Wisconsin DNR is not a necessary and indispensable party to this case that seeks to abate the pollution from a single discharger. And finally, that the plaintiffs proved by a preponderance of the evidence that Flambeau's biofilter discharges reached Stream C, which is a water of the United States. We do, however, ask the court to reverse the district court's denial of plaintiff's attorney's fees and to remand that issue to the district court for a calculation of the reasonable fee. Now, first, on the permit shield issue, Flambeau is not entitled to a Clean Water Act permit shield for at least two reasons. First, the only permit that Flambeau holds, and the only permit it has held since September of 1998, is a state law metallic mining permit. And that permit, on its face, clearly limits its authority to state metallic mining laws. It's curious here that Flambeau and its permit shield arguments never once points to or identifies the permit provision that it believes authorizes its discharges.
That was issued by the Wisconsin DNR, correct?
It was, Your Honor.
Was there some other permit program that WDNR was operating?
Yes, and in fact, in 1991, when the mining permit was issued at exactly the same time, Flambeau was issued a permit under the Wisconsin Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, or the WPDS program. And that's the Clean Water Act delegated permit program. And that permit, from 1991 until it was terminated in September of 1998, did authorize and regulate Flambeau's pollutant discharges, including its discharges of stormwater. But the mining
Why can't somebody like Flambeau Mining simply rely on the state authorities to decide what the appropriate permits are?
Well, the Clean Water Act makes clear, as the D.C. Circuit held long ago in NRDC versus COSL, that the only means to avoid the clear prohibition on the discharge of pollutants is to obtain an NPDES permit. And
why can't a company like Flambeau go to state authorities, ask what permits they need, and rely on the answer?
Because the DNR cannot create an exemption from the NPDES program. And to the extent the DNR attempted to do so here, it was wrong as a matter of law. There's nobody saying that the state cannot regulate Flambeau's mining activities under any mechanism that it so chooses, or even regulate its stormwater management on the site. The Clean Water Act only regulates the point source discharge of pollutants, and that's what's at issue here. And Flambeau, in fact, was fully aware that it needed this permit, and it was aware that it was getting a better deal under the mining permit. We included in our supplemental appendix an environmental audit from 2005.
That's obviously not the way the district court saw it, is it? Is it?
It is, Your Honor. The district court reached the permit shield decision on summary judgment, and it recognized that for several reasons that Flambeau was not entitled to a permit shield. First, because the mining permit on its face did not authorize the discharges. And it reached as a second.
The district judge, though, clearly, after hearing a lot of evidence, concluded that the mining permit was amply protective, and obviously saw this lawsuit as a trivial distraction. What's wrong with that view?
Well, there's one critical distinction between the mining permit and a true and lawful NPDES permit, and it relates to the toxicity criteria. Any NPDES permit issued by either EPA or the state must, at a minimum, ensure that the discharge complies with water quality standards. And we have here the biofilter discharges exceeding those standards in every sample collected by Flambeau. So it's very telling, I think, that Flambeau is purportedly in full compliance with a state mining permit and yet continues to discharge acutely toxic concentrations of copper. If it had been issued an NPDES permit, no matter what form that permit had taken, it would have, at a minimum, required some degree of control on the pollutant discharges sufficient to meet water quality standards. And that was the plaintiff's impetus for bringing this case.
Mr. Saul, from the point of view of Flambeau, you indicated they understood they needed some other permit. How were they to get that other permit? What were they to do in their position? They dealt with the only authority around, and that authority told them, this is what you need.
All they had to do was apply for the permit, the same way they did in 1991. In 1991, their discharges were regulated under the WPDS permit, mining activities and mining reclamation under the mining.
And I presume the state of Wisconsin would have said, well, that's not the permit we want to give you. We want to operate under the other permit because we can watch you more carefully. That was the testimony.
Well, it's not in the record exactly what DNR would have done, and we don't know what DNR would have done had they applied for a WPDS permit. I'm not aware of DNR ever denying an application for a WPDS permit.
What rule of
permit?
Law is there that says you have to go to a regulator and he says, okay, this is what you need, this is the permit you need, that you have to say, no, you're wrong, you have to give me another permit, and that's the one I want you to give me? Is that legal onus placed on Flambeau?
Well, I think it relates to what DNR was trying to regulate at the time.
What do you do with our cases that talk about the lack of notice in situations like this?
The lack of notice of the citizen suit, you mean?
No, the lack of notice that they had to do something, that they had some other legal obligation.
Well,
they were told by the regulator this is what they wanted. We have clear precedent that says, you know, that's what you got to go to the regulator and get what he tells you got to get.
Well, I think the cases are clear that states, either by accident or on purpose, can't create an exemption from the NPDES permit program. And when they attempt to do so.
What business is that of Flambeau's?
Excuse me?
What business is that of Flambeau's? Maybe that's the EPA's business, but you know, the EPA's been living with this situation for a long time, has never touched the delegated authority it's given Wisconsin. It's got 5,700 permits out throughout the state that you say are in violation of law, and the EPA sitting there say doing nothing. What do these people do?
Your Honor, first of all, the 5,700 permittees are not – what type of permit they actually hold is not in the record. Those are arguments that were presented by the amici well after the summary judgment decision. But so far as we know, those
– It's been going on for a long time.
Those 5,700 permittees hold, so far as we know, actual WPDES permits issued under Section 283 of the Wisconsin statutes, which properly implements the state's Clean Water Act program. We're aware of only one industrial stormwater discharger in the state that is regulated, purportedly regulated, by some other permit than a true WPDES permit, and that's Flambeau. And it's the only facility that we know where DNR has attempted to invoke NR 216.21 sub 4, which is the basis.
Do you concur with Mr. Van Kamp that you had the option of going to the EPA?
I disagree with that. You can bring a citizen suit under the Clean Water Act against EPA only when there's alleged failure of EPA to perform a non-discretionary duty. I don't think EPA has a non-discretionary duty to monitor each and every mining permit issued by states. It's obviously concerned with the implementation of the Clean Water Act program. And in fact, DNR, the state of Wisconsin, knows how to seek EPA approval of its program modifications. It did so in 2009, and we included that as part of the summary judgment record, where DNR submitted a revised program regulation to EPA, and EPA sent a letter to DNR approving in part and disapproving in part components of the state regulation as a part of the state's delegated permit program. So DNR knows how to seek EPA approval if it wants to.
Mr. Saul, how do you respond to Mr. Van Kamp's suggestion? In fact, it's in the record that at least some of the participants in the plaintiff's case were at the table. And why wasn't all of this raised back in 1999 instead of a lawsuit being filed years later? Isn't there a little bit of estoppel at play here?
Not at all, Your Honor. In fact, Flambeau raised an estoppel defense before the district court. The district court denied summary judgment on the issue, and Flambeau did not appeal it. But more importantly here, it's true that some of the plaintiffs were at the table in 1998. But that was a modification to the state mining program. And as the 1998 modification document itself makes clear, the decisions made by the DNR at that time were made solely pursuant to the metallic mining program. The modification document is a four-page document and includes three conclusions of law, none of which relate to the Clean Water Act or even NR 216. and includes 13 findings of fact, none of which mention the biofilter or any potential discharge of copper from any part of the mine site. That simply was a modification of the mining permit to allow Flambeau to change the way it wanted to reclaim the site after mining.
And it was to accommodate the local government's preference.
The decision was made to preserve this part of the site known as the industrial outlot for future industrial use.
Mr. Saul, why did you oppose the joinder of the state authorities in the suit?
We didn't oppose the joinder. And, in fact, it's telling the state never sought to join in this case. They filed an amicus brief before the district court. They did not seek to join.
Nobody, you didn't oppose the motion.
We opposed their motion for leave to file the amicus brief because we felt they were stating exactly the same thing that Flambeau had already stated. But it's interesting because the state had, in its amicus brief to the district court, stated its interest in wanting to make sure the district court was aware of its position on the law with respect to how it chose to manage stormwater.
Opposed WDNR's motion to file an amicus brief?
We did, Your Honor.
If I could follow up on one of the things Judge Ripple was asking about. I'm trying to figure out whether this case is unique or is the first of 5,700, okay? You told us a few minutes ago that Flambeau Mining is the only party in this situation. In arguing that the district judge failed to award you a sufficient fee that took into account how important and significant this case is, I thought you told us that there are many other parties similarly situated and that this sends an important signal and will wind up fixing a whole lot of other problems. Apparently there's a contradiction or I've misunderstood something.
Well, when we did say that this case had important precedent simply because it's the first case that we're aware of that clarified this oversight role of EPA to review and specifically approve modifications to state permit programs. We didn't mention 5,700 permittees. We think those facilities that hold actual WPDS permits are likely going to be correctly entitled to a permit shield. We did recognize that there were other facilities, and in our 216.21 sub 4 is a provision of the Wisconsin Code that Flambeau relies on here. There are a couple other provisions of NR 216 that are similar. And we were referring to facilities that might be regulated by the DNR through other permits or approvals under that or similar provisions. But that doesn't relate to the facilities that have actual WPDS permits. So far as we're aware, Flambeau is the only industrial facility. There do appear to be some municipal landfills. I'm not sure why that's a unique category of facilities that DNR has chosen to regulate under similar provisions to NR 216.
Can anyone bring an action against the Environmental Protection Agency to require them to review the delegated authority they've given Wisconsin?
I don't believe there's a cause of action against EPA for that. Here, if EPA had taken some action, I'll use the 2009 example where it actually did approve in part and disapprove in part some program modifications. I think that would be a challengeable action on the part of EPA. But here, because there was no such action from EPA, there was nothing to challenge. And in any event, even if we had challenged EPA, that wouldn't have stopped the toxic amount of pollution coming off of Flambeau's mine site. That was plaintiff's interest here. This convoluted permit shield defense didn't really arise until Flambeau pled it as an affirmative defense. Before we filed suit, we ascertained that they, in fact, did not hold a WPDES permit, and that fulfilled our burden to bring them into court for an unpermitted discharge.
Mr. Saul, what this case reminds me of are so-called de facto office cases in the law. Let's say, for example, a couple gets married and it turns out that there was a problem with the minister's ordination or the judge's appointment or election. We still treat the couple as married under the law. if the legislative leaders sign an enrolled act of a state legislature saying this passed each house with a majority and it went to the governor, we don't look behind that kind of documentation. In essence, what we say is in many, many contexts in the law, people are entitled to rely on facially valid public acts. And I invite you to address those analogies.
Well, Your Honor, no court has held that a state agency or EPA may effectively sidestep the NPDES program by using other permits or by using, you know, written approvals.
Should we be troubled by the silence of the EPA here? I mean, it's their job. This can't be a secret. And they don't seem to see a problem.
I don't think we should be troubled. EPA, I think when they heard about this case, recognized that the state was trying to use a state law mining permit. And, you know, EPA has effectively no interest in how the state chooses to implement its state metallic mining laws. And it has some interest in how the state chooses to manage stormwater, but it really focuses in on when there's a discharge of pollutants from a point source. And here, you know, DNR cannot use permits other than through NPDES permits. Your Honors, the district court erred and abused its discretion when it denied plaintiffs' attorney's fees here for three reasons. First, the district court failed to acknowledge or cite to the correct legal standard under the Clean Water Act, which creates a strong presumption in favor of awarding fees to prevailing plaintiffs. And second, no special circumstances exist here that would warrant the complete denial of fees. The correct standard that we think the district court should have applied was the special circumstances test that this court has adopted in civil rights cases and that the Ninth and Tenth Circuits have extended to the Clean Water Act. And the test is as follows. Fees should be awarded as a matter of course to prevailing plaintiffs unless special circumstances render the award of fees unjust. And the factors cited by Flambeau in its briefing do not amount to special circumstances, including its purported good faith reliance on DNR statements. The Ninth Circuit has held in the St. John's Organic Farm case that good faith reliance is irrelevant because it's also irrelevant for Clean Water Act liability. And to the extent Flambeau would rely on the purported lack of harm of Stream C, Your Honors, I see my time is up. May I briefly conclude?
Finish the sentence.
Okay. To the extent Flambeau would rely on the purported lack of harm to Stream C, I think that is belied by exceedances of the acute toxicity criterion in the stream.
Thank you, Counsel. Mr. Van Camp, rebuttal.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to speak briefly to the issue of acute toxicity. The plaintiff's counsel talked several times about this acute toxicity, but I want to remind the court that acute toxicity has absolutely nothing to do with this appeal. The trial court found in no uncertain terms that plaintiffs cannot make a plausible argument that the quality of the water in the river, and they're referring to the Flambeau River, is affected by the discharge from the biofilter, and then went on to say it never threatened the river's water quality. So the court certainly wasn't swayed and didn't find that acute toxicity was something that was at issue, and had there been an issue about that, the plaintiffs would have appealed it, and they didn't. The only thing they chose to appeal was whether they had paid. I think there are a couple of things that should be addressed. First of all, as the court knows, the trial court in this case determined that it would be ridiculous to require by order the Wisconsin DNR to issue a WPDES permit to Flambeau Mining Company because it would essentially be ordering them to take a permit that would have far less supervision. and far less scrutiny to apply. There was a comment about it is appropriate to have EPA oversight, and yet in this case, EPA oversight wasn't necessary. Well, there are a couple of inconsistencies with the plaintiff's argument. First of all, the plaintiffs claim that they have no complaint about the DNR. If that's true, then doesn't it stand to reason that the DNR selected the proper permit? And doesn't it stand to reason that the DNR properly regulated and monitored that permit the way they are supposed to under the Clean Water Act? I think clearly it does. I would like to address the issue of attorney's fees, but before I get there, because acute toxicity was referenced a number of times, I think that we need to go back to the significant nexus issue. There was no significant nexus test in this case. Rapanos was not followed. But if you look at Justice Kennedy's language, after the significant nexus test is set out, he says, when in contrast, wetlands' effects on the water quality are speculative or insubstantial, they fall outside the zone fairly encompassed by the statutory term navigable waters. So if we ignore the permit shield in this case, if we ignore the Rule 19, that is failure to join a necessary party, the DNR, if we ignore those two arguments, there still is no federal jurisdiction in this case. This is not an appropriate case for federal jurisdiction. The court very clearly...
If the discharge of pollutants had been heavier, more toxic, and had followed that flow into Stream C and into the Flambeau River, would there be federal jurisdiction? Does it depend upon the extent of the pollution?
No, it doesn't depend on the extent of the pollution, but it does depend on a significant nexus.
Okay.
And that hasn't occurred.
There are no further questions. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.